Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everyone? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my main man, Josh Cohen, calling out of Ottawa.
Hey, hi, how you doing?
My man. And calling back, Rajan Walia, on the line. What's going on?
Hey, yo, it's been a long time.
You've been missed, man.
Man, I can't just stay away from the NBA. I'm back like an addict.
Good, good. I think you were probably on your phone as much as everyone else was on Friday night when, you know, we got a nice little leak for a Trevor Ariza, Kelly Oubre, Austin Rivers, some sort of Brooks trade, and it all sort of just fell through. Yo, that was like the weirdest, I don't know, what was that, like an hour and a half of Twitter updates that we got?
Yeah, ever since the DeAndre saga.
Which is funnier, though. I'm going to say this.
I think the DeAndre saga was definitely more entertaining.
The DeAndre saga was entertaining, but this is more like, yo, did you seriously not just talk about who you wanted to trade in person? So the story is that these guys just mixed up Marshawn Brooks and Dylan Brooks. I'm sure everyone's heard. And there was apparently no verbal communication between some GMs. It was just like text messages or whatever saying just the name Brooks. No mention of a first name, no first initial, just Brooks. And these are very different players, man. Like, Dylan Brooks has so much potential. Marshawn Brooks is holding on for a space in the league at this point. What the hell?
Yeah, I think the story was that Memphis and Washington's GMs just weren't talking. So Memphis was talking to Phoenix directly, and there was a mix-up there. But I think in the end, Phoenix actually said that Memphis sent them Dylan Brooks's medical records. So they were just lying the entire time and they had cold feet in the end. So I think the mix-up never actually happened based on the reporting, but it hasn't been proven yet. So it's one of those things that's hilarious though, like watching real time. But at the same time, if they actually sent over Dylan Brooks's, you know, physicals and, you know, medical reporting, then obviously Memphis is a team to be blamed here.
And they were eventually the team who didn't participate in the final trade. So on Saturday morning, we got the actual trade that happened, which was just a straight-up Ariza for Oubre and Rivers, and then Rivers gets dropped by the Suns on Monday night.
Yeah, they paid him $12 million to go away.
His contract is $12
million? Yep. Yeah, he's got 1 year left of $12
million. Woo! He's on a friendly contract. Like, for a player who's a caliber player still, a good 3-and-D player, he's going to help Washington on a team-friendly contract. Like, I think at the end of the day, Washington got a pretty good player in return for players that clearly weren't working for them and they were just trying to dump some salary.
Damn, I did not realize Rivers' contract was that big. Holy. So I guess in the end, Phoenix is just going to keep Oubre around for the 2 or 3 guard? 3, I guess?
Not necessarily. There's been reporting that they're going to swap him again because he's a free agent this upcoming summer, right? So you either got to pay him or you got to trade him before the trade deadline and try to get something back for him, maybe just like a first-round pick or something. Because he does have value around the league. I mean, he is a pretty decent 3-and-D young player, and I think Memphis really missed out in this trade because I think Oubre's a better player than Dylan Brooks as of right now, and he would definitely help them on the wing where they're starting Kyle Anderson, who's a really good defensive player, but Oubre would help them in the scoring category, which is what they need.
But I wouldn't trade up Dylan Brooks' potential for it. Because I don't think Memphis can't think that they're actually going anywhere far this year, right? I think right now it's more of just keeping Conley and Gasol happy enough while you try to develop the younger guys like Jaren Jackson and Jamichael Green.
Yeah, but what's Dylan Brooks' ceiling versus Oubre, right? Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Brooks, man. I like Dylan Brooks' game. Like, he's a big dude. He can shoot. He's a decent defender. I think he's more consistent than Oubre is for a younger guy. Like, Oubre hasn't really developed in the past 4 years. He's had so much potential, and he's sort of just stayed the same guy. Inconsistent 3-and-D guy off the bench.
I'd rather have Brooks' potential.
Yeah, I agree with Peter. Like, I think Dylan Brooks is like a NBA starting caliber player down the road. Whereas in Oubre, like, it seems that he's had his time to really develop, and he hasn't had the opportunity to really, like, take hold of a starting position. And at this point, like, even though he's still quite young, like, I don't see him more than an effective 3-and-D player. Like, his potential is probably like a Terrence Ross at this point.
Yeah, I guess. Terrence Ross is pretty good this year. Terrence Ross is getting buckets out in Orlando. But nobody cares because it's Orlando, you know?
It's easy to get buckets when there's no expectations on you.
Yeah, the same thing for Kelly Oubre. Well, you would
know. Yeah, and now he's in a situation where there's no pressure, so watch him put up 20 points per game now.
Yeah, how much is he going to get paid this summer, man? I'm thinking at least, like, 11.
Yeah, for a 3-and-D player like him who's only 22, 23, I think he'll get 10 to 15 million. I mean, the average starter salary now is 15 million, right? So you expect him to get around that number. But it's a matter of how many years does he get, because, again, as you guys said, he's pretty inconsistent. So he hasn't really proven much so far in his NBA career, but he has had moments. And he looks, when he looks good, he looks really good. He looks like he can be a starting caliber player in the NBA. So it's hard to say at this point.
Yeah. I'm glad that Washington actually did something, though. I mean, it's not the trade that we want them to make, obviously, to get rid of one of their major contracts, but it's sort of a move in the right direction to get Ariza. I mean, he has been there before. He obviously had, like, a killer season, a couple of seasons with him. And so maybe he kind of helps Wall and Beal, but I'm not really sure either.
Well, he had his best season when he went to Washington. I mean, John Wall makes role players look great, right? Even yesterday, or sorry, 2 days ago when they played the Lakers, Sam Decker had 20 points.
Ooh,
all
Sam
on backdoor
Decker.
Cuts.
Getting buckets, so, baby.
Yeah, so I mean, John Wall can make any type of small forward who can shoot the three ball look really good. And Ariza is really good at doing that, so maybe that'll help turn their season around a little bit, but it's just a band-aid move for Washington. They just keep doing the same thing over and over again. I mean, at least they didn't have to give a first-round pick like they do every year. I mean, the last couple of years, they traded for Gortat, Markieff Morris for first-round picks, and just building a really average team. And now they have Ariza, who's probably going to start for them, but I just don't see where they're going with this.
So what's a potential starting lineup? You said Ariza starts, you obviously have Wall and Beal. Porter at the three.
Porter. Yeah, for sure.
And Thomas Bryant at the five while Dwight's still out, I guess.
Is Dwight even coming back at this point?
I don't know, man, but I don't want Thomas Bryant as my starting five. So either way, it's bad for them.
Dwight, yeah, Porter, I think normally, too, you're going to have Markieff Morris play at the five, you know, throughout the course of the game, which has been a good lineup for them. They scored a lot of points with him at the five, but they also gave up a lot of points. But
I was going to say, that's a small-ass lineup. Especially if you're comparing it to other teams in the East with, like, who's the smallest contending big man? Serge? And then, what? Thaddeus? Miles Turner? Man, he's going to get bodied inside.
Yeah, they're going to bleed points, but they're going to score a lot of points, too. But that's probably their best lineup that they can use at this point because they're capped out, obviously, and they don't have a lot of potential for improvement with this roster. There's not a lot of guys that can trade besides Beal, but then if you trade Beal, you might as well just rebuild and trade Wall, too, right? So
yeah, or try to get rid of Wall.
Yeah, the key word is try because I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah. Yo, would you want Kelly Oubre on the Raptors?
Yeah, absolutely. But the problem is if you get him, again, you have to look at re-signing him. So how much are you going to give up for him, right?
Well, I guess it really depends on who you could trade for him too, right? If you trade someone, obviously they want to get rid of someone like Norm's contract.
Norm and CJ Miles.
Yeah,
those as far as I would go to. I would not trade DeLon Wright or Fred VanVleet for him. But I think they're better off getting a veteran shooting guard or small forward off the bench. I don't think Oubre's ready for big minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah, I also think, like, at the end of the day, the Raptors probably just want a bit more veteran players, and they actually need players that are consistent. They don't need players to put up big numbers, but they just need consistent players that may need to hit one or two buckets a game, who don't turn the ball over. And at the end of the day, the Raps are like looking for one small piece, whereas in Oubre is looking for playing time so he can develop his game. Like Josh mentioned, he's still quite young. He could become an effective player in the NBA with more minutes and a bit more consistency, but the Raps are looking for like a player like Josh had mentioned, like a Kyle Korver, like a typical role player off the bench. You can expect him to do his thing. So I wouldn't trade for him or look for a player like him. Look for a veteran player that maybe can get on a good contract as well.
Yeah, and OG's playing the role that Oubre would want to play too, as a 3-4 off the bench that plays a little bit of defense. And, well, in OG's case, hopefully knock down a shot because he hasn't been good this year from the 3-point line.
Yeah, he's been rough.
And the weirdest thing about OG this year is he's shooting like 27% from the free throw line.
Really?
Literally.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with him. There's some Markel Fultz stuff going on there.
No. Apparently, earlier this year, his father passed away in his sleep. And that's why he's been taking a lot of days, like personal days. Masai even said it the same time he came out with the Kyle Lowry story that Kyle's always mad at him. He also mentioned that he's proud of OG for like taking some steps to come back, and it's been a difficult time for him, and he's dealing with family issues. So I'll give him a break for a couple of weeks, maybe a month. But I expect more from him because last year he had an outstanding season, and this year he's definitely had a bit of a sophomore slump.
Yeah, it's kind of different this year because teams are actually focusing on the Raps bench too, right?
No, I think the difference is Siakam's not playing with the bench anymore, and he was a huge cog for them last year.
And Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, Poeltl was good with Fred VanVleet especially. Like, he was actually pretty good last year.
He was good at his job.
Yeah, I mean, OG is shooting 30% from the three-point line this year, and he's shooting, 29% from the free throw line. He's not shooting many, obviously, but when he gets there, it just doesn't look good.
Yeah, that's rough. Hopefully he gets better soon. Who's going to be better in the future? This young Sacramento squad or this Raps bench squad?
Well, if you want to get into the Sacramento stuff right now, I mean, over the course of the last week, there's been some weird stuff that's come up. So
strange-ass team, man.
Indeed. I mean, they've had a feud that's been ongoing with Dave Yeager and the assistant general manager, Brandon Williams. So far this year, they've had some issues to where I think it's about, 3 weeks ago? It was on November 29th, sorry. Where Dave Yeager asked Brandon Williams to leave the team shoot around, and they've had issues stemming from the lottery in who they're going to be drafting. And then this week, Dave Yeager came out and talked about Luka Doncic, and I quote, "Perhaps there was an idea that there was a ceiling on him. I don't see it. Unfortunately, he's been great for them, and he's great for our league." And when he said that, obviously the media went absolutely bonkers, thinking that this is a direct shot at Brandon Williams, obviously, and the Kings just refusing to draft Luka Doncic, who would have been a great fit next to De'Aaron Fox.
This is amazing.
And then yesterday, he sort of backtracked and talked about Marvin Bagley. And he said, "When we drafted Marvin at 2, we were high-fiving like crazy. We got the right guy for us. This isn't going to be a story in 3 days. And it'll definitely be buried 5 years from now when we have the next Durant Westbrook." That's how good they're going to be.
Wow. I mean, good for him for supporting his guys.
I think he's backtracking more than anything.
Oh, of course. But, I mean, what are you going to do? What a fool, man. This guy's going to get fired so soon. Or he's going to like sneak his way out of the team like he did from Memphis.
He's done a really good job this year, though. That's the thing. I mean, despite these comments, Sacramento's obviously exceeded all the expectations.
Yeah, by far. But I mean, if the front office doesn't like you, man, it's a bad sign. No matter what.
I don't know if it's the front office. I think it's just Brandon Williams. Those guys have a weird feud going on, but I don't think Divac has come out and said anything against Yeager. So I think eventually they might have to choose between the two, but if you're going to choose between those two, I think you have to choose Yeager because he's done a really good job and the players believe in what he's doing right now.
Was Jaeger Divac's hire? He must have been, right? He's been there only for like a year or two.
Yeah, I believe he is.
Okay. At least that helped. That's true. I haven't heard anything from Vlade or anyone else in the front office. It's literally just been Brendan Williams, who you didn't actually hear from. You heard a report that Jaeger kicked him out of practice, right? So there was no actual indication that he was the one who is like angry or whatever about it. So it could just be like an internal feud between the two.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like you have to side with the coach here. Usually you don't say that, but like when it's the coach versus the GM, the players aren't playing for the GM, they're playing for the coach and
assistant GM.
Like I think that team would go to complete waste if they ended up firing Jaeger and the players were really behind him. You'd lose kind of trust with them, and they're probably going to think their front office is a joke, which, well, you couldn't blame the players because they have been in the past. But with the whole Bagley situation, I think like Jaeger was just trying to do a nice thing and say some positive things about Doncic, and he probably in his mind thought that Doncic could have been or is a better player than Bagley, but the team wanted Bagley, so he had to go with it. It came out obviously in probably a passive aggressive manner towards the front office, and I don't think it was like a direct shot. I think he was just trying to say something nice about Doncic, and then his personal feelings kind of leaked through in his message.
Yeah, I think it was a big fuck you to Brandon Williams, which is hilarious. The more beef in the NBA, the better. What's
beef? You know what's funny? What other assistant GMs do you know in the league other than Brandon Williams and, well, I guess the new Pacers assistant, the first female Kraskoff? I think I'm saying her name right. But that's it. What other female or what other assistant GMs do you know of or know the name of?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm looking up Toronto's right now.
I literally can't think of who it is. I can barely remember the GM's name in Toronto. Obviously, it's Bobby Webster, but his assistant, I have no idea.
Yeah, you're right. That's not really a thing.
Yeah. How is Brandon Williams getting so much hype behind his name already? Literally the only assistant GM that we know of. It's so strange.
Oh, the Raptors assistant general manager is Dan Toldsman. Whoever that is.
Yeah, this Sacramento situation is just weird. I don't know.
On the flip side, they're really fun to watch. I think they might be one of, if not the best league pass team this year because they play so fast, and De'Aaron Fox has really broken out this year.
Yo, he's a killer this year. I was not expecting that big of a leap from him.
Do you think? Yeah, and the parts just fit now. I mean, Bogdanovich is coming off the bench, and he's done a really good job this year too. He's really developed well too and becoming like one of the better shooters in the NBA. But I think overall, Bogdanovich is a better player. But when you play those guys together with Fox, I mean, their offensive firepower is great. And Bagley's been good in the minutes that he's played, even though he's injured now. And Cauley-Stein's been good, but they have to make a decision with him in the offseason whether they're going to extend him or not, or if they just want to go with Bagley at the five going forward. So, I don't know. Would you guys pay Willie Cauley-Stein the money that he's going to command on the free agent market?
How much do you think he's, like 15?
Yeah, no, I would say he's probably going to get around what Jonas got, like 4 years, maybe $65 million or so.
I think he might get a bit higher than that. I think he's looking at closer to $20 million just because, like, with the inflation and what players are getting paid. Like, stats-wise, he's effective, and we really haven't seen him on a team that's pushing in the playoffs, obviously, because Sacramento hasn't made it in, like, years. But I think he's going to be getting closer to, like, 4 years, $72 million, 4 years, like, $75 million. And to be honest, I think you probably have to pay a player like that because he's quite effective. He's still relatively young. Like, his game's probably still going to improve. And I think he's fitting with the team well. And if you're trying to build that young core, like, you'll have Fox, Yield, you'll have a big man in Cauley-Stein, and you'll still have Bagley for probably 2 more years, I'm assuming, on his rookie contract. So they still have a window to be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, why not? That's the other thing. This year, they're getting off of Iman Shumpert and Zach Randolph's contracts as well. I would pay him because they don't really have that much money held up in many other players. Bogdanovich is going to get 8.5 next year.
Talk about a steal right there.
Bogdanovich?
Yeah, he's a huge steal. I mean, on the contract, everyone was like, okay, he's coming over from Europe. He's getting a 3-year contract at $8 million a year. He's not going to be worth this, but he's been worth that and more.
Oh, yeah. He's so good, man. He's smooth. He's also 26, though. He's not a rookie like you would think, or a second year, third year player, right? What is he
like? No, but he's in his prime, and he's probably like probably the only player besides Fox who you'd probably say you can count on in a playoff situation as of right now. Anyway,
you don't believe in Buddy Hield?
I don't believe in Buddy Hield yet. No.
Damn, your Buddy's having a career year.
He is having a great year, but I don't believe in it. I mean, I think he's more of an inflation in terms of, like, a stats inflated type of guy where, you know, he's playing at a super crazy pace, and that's really helped his point production. I mean, it's helped Fox too, obviously, but Fox's game has just been taken to another level. You can just see it with how he plays.
Yeah, Fox is really taking command. But to answer your question, yes, I would pay him. I would pay WSCS. Why not?
Yeah, we'll look at Sacramento. I think they have the lowest salary this year, and next year they have no player making like over $9 million or $10 million at all on their roster. Like, obviously, they're going to have to start paying Fox, and if they decide to stay with Buddy Hield in the future, but those players are on such friendly contracts that I think you can afford to pay WCS at least, like, offer him a 3 or 4 year deal at like probably $18-19 million, and I'm sure that is probably going to be a fair contract for him.
Would you pay him, Josh?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, it's better paying him than losing for nothing, right? And he is restricted too, so they could sign and trade him if they really wanted to. But
yeah,
I think that he's developed pretty good chemistry with Fox, and he's been a good player this year. He's improved his game as well. So I think, you pay him, and I think he fits in the modern NBA too, because he's a guy that's really mobile on the perimeter. He's a guy that can guard guards, even though he's been okay doing that so far this year, but I think he can get better with experience. And he's a guy that can play 26 to 30 minutes a game, and then if Bagley continues to develop his body, maybe he becomes the modern-day five going forward, and then you can look to trade WCS in the future. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing to have that much talent in the big man spots.
Yeah. You know who else is talented at the big? Kind of underwhelmingly talented this year is Utah. They lost again yesterday to a traveling James
that
Harden
that transition,
show.
Though. Oh, my goodness.
You like that, eh?
That was amazing.
You missed my traveling James Harden circus.
Oh, we got to talk about that, too.
Yo, James Harden with a double step back. It was friggin' hilarious, man.
It looked like Harden did two step backs. That's a travel.
That's a travel.
That's
a travel.
I don't think I'd have seen a guy take
two. Wait, I ain't seen him go boop, doop.
I saw it, but I was like, did I see what I just thought I saw?
I didn't even notice that in game, like when it first happened, when Rubio supposedly fouled him.
Oh yeah,
and they showed the replay, and it was like the Brandon Williams B dot A dot guy when they did the video on Harden. It took like 15 step backs in traffic.
Man, yo, one that wasn't a travel. Oh, sorry. Yes, it was a travel. It was not a foul. I don't know how you can call a foul on that. What the hell was that, man? It was like, you remember in preseason when he did that behind the back step back, when he like put the like spun the ball behind his back.
Yeah, and then the NBA said that was a legal move because they said it was part of his gather, and it really wasn't.
This guy's getting more creative as the days go by, man. I'm impressed.
Yeah, like his original step back, he would pick the ball up, and then he would plant and move with his left foot and then move backwards and take a hop step, which, you know, in some cases can be a legit play if as long as it's with the gather, but it seems like he picks up the ball first, and then steps, and then takes a hop step, which is 3 steps. But this one, it was like at least 5 steps.
No, he picked this one up and then double hop stepped back.
Yeah.
That was so weird. 4 steps. And he got a foul.
I think it was 5, to be honest. At least 5.
I think the 5th was a gather, though. I'll give him the gather step. But 4 steps, man. Creative as hell. I wonder if the refs are actually going to pick up on this. Because they started calling all of these stupid, like, what would you say it is? Like the poor pivot move off a catch? Like, you know when you catch the ball and you go into your
like you're facing up towards the rim?
Yeah, you go into triple threat and then you just like shuffle your feet before you actually start the drive?
Yeah, Jason Capone.
What?
Jason Capone used to do that all the time. He used to catch the ball. And then with guys running at him, he would take like a step or two first and then dribble, and they call him every single time. It was painful to watch.
Yeah, I could see that as a Raps fan. But yes, that move. They started calling that a lot like last year, not even this year. So they're actually calling travels, but somehow Harden just keeps getting away with this kind of stuff.
And then you go back to the Lakers game against Houston where he had a 50-point triple-double, and the Lakers players are literally putting their hands behind their back because of all the foul calls that are being called on them. And the NBA official Twitter feed commented when Chris Webber was talking about a specific play where Kyle Kuzma was guarding Harden, and Harden, it looked like he tripped over Kuzma, and Chris Webber was talking about how ridiculous of a call it was, and then Kuzma commented on Twitter as well, saying he doesn't want to get fined, so he's not going to say anything, but he said that, is it going to be a fine if I respond to the official Twitter feed for the NBA official's Twitter?
Pretty funny.
So, I mean, it's great. Been two games in a row now where there's been controversy behind, you know, Harden getting his foul calls, and it's just been ridiculous.
And through those two games, he's gotten his 50-point game, and then what was the Utah game, like 40-something?
47, I think.
Hot damn. I mean, go get your money, James. Go get your buckets, but shit. Do it smoothly, at least.
Yeah, like, he only made 14 shots, albeit, like, a good portion were threes, but 14 made field goals and 47 points. Like, this guy was living at the foul line.
Jesus. Anyways, let's go back to Utah, because they have been pretty awful this year. They're currently sitting at 14th in the West, 14 and 17, and they just need some help on offense and on defense. Josh, I know you were saying earlier in the year that the defense would come together once the officials stopped calling like soft fouls on them, but it hasn't really wavered at all. Like, Gobert is still getting called for like every little nudge.
No, it's true. But they have improved defensively the last couple of weeks. They've gone from, I think, around 15th or so to 7th. So the defense has improved, but their offense is 24th right now. So that's the biggest thing for them. They need to make a trade for a point guard that can score, because I think the Rubio thing is just not working out. It looked like it was going to be working out last year. In the second half of the year, he got fire, obviously, and he looked really good with Mitchell, and their motion offense is working out really well as well with Ingles coming off screens and doing Joe Ingles things, but even that hasn't really come together this year. He started off the year pretty well, but he's sort of tailed off the last couple weeks. They just need more scoring in the guard spots and to help Mitchell out on the perimeter, and they need to figure out what they're going to do in their big man spots too, because I don't know if Favors is a good fit there. With Gobert, he played well with him last year again, but this year teams have sort of figured them out.
I think one thing with Utah that, like, I think with their record and how they've played, like, you have to put a little asterisk beside that, because they've only played 11 games at home while they played like 20 games on the road, and we know what a powerhouse they are in Salt Lake City, and like, you expect their record to balance out because they're such a dominant home team. But all that being said, I think they do need a bit of perimeter scoring. Like Josh mentioned, the league is shifting more to like a guard dominant play, and they have more of like a traditional style offense with like two big men, which again, I'm a big fan of. But
you don't say.
Yeah, I just have to mention it at least once every podcast. But I think, like, at the end of the day, I don't know if Ricky Rubio's the problem, like, as you say. I just think they need to add scoring. And I think maybe, like, a younger player like Kelly Oubre would have been a good fit. But again, he's inconsistent, and they need a bit more of a consistent player. But I think there is solutions to their problems, and I still expect them to be a playoff team. It's just the West, and I know we're going to get to that, but the West is just, it's a mess, but it's also so damn interesting that I don't think anyone's comfortable picking who's really going to make it out at this point in the season.
I'm pretty comfortable saying that Denver will be a top four team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can live with that.
If not top three.
Ooh, maybe top one.
I mean, if they can withstand all their injuries in the next couple weeks and get Millsap back and Harris back at the same time. I mean, as long as they can, you know, stay afloat, which they have so far, they should be okay. I mean, they should be a top three seed if they're able to get through December.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, not take too many L's.
Nah, they don't eat L's. Toronto eats L's.
Yeah, Toronto had like four NBA players in that game. Even relax.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Sorry, I don't know why we keep going back to Toronto. But that game, how many guys was Toronto missing? Like three? Four?
I think four or five.
They were missing Lowry, VanVleet,
Siakam.
Siakam.
Powell.
And, well, whatever. Powell. Come on. He's like a 14th man. Come on. And JV. Those are the main four guys, right? Denver was missing Millsap, Barton, and Harris. Three starters. I'm just saying.
I mean, it's still a good win, obviously, but you saw in the fourth quarter they shot 1 for 12 from three-point land, and they were leaving Ananobi and CJ Miles wide open. They just packed the paint on Kawhi, and they just said, go ahead, take your shot.
Yeah, of course. Of course I'm going to double up Kawhi when CJ Miles is on the floor. Are you kidding me? CJ Miles has been cold all year. He's starting to hit the shots now, but obviously I'm going to double up on Kawhi.
For sure. But the good thing with Toronto is they don't have to go to the Western time zone anymore the rest of the season. So,
really?
And they have the least amount of games. Yeah, upcoming. I think it's the Pacific time zone, sorry.
Yeah,
so they have the least amount of games left as well. So I think you're going to see a lot more of Kawhi and then less back-to-backs, obviously, too. So Toronto's in a good spot going 2-2 in that road trip, even though they probably should have won every single game, if not at least three of them.
Relax.
That Portland game, too, they should have won that game. They came all the way back, and then Van Vliet had a fast break where he went straight at Lillard, and Lillard stripped the ball from him. If they score there, just taking a timeout before that happened, you know, anything could have happened because they were on a huge run at that point.
Yeah, Damian Lillard, defensive monster, you know what I'm saying?
That's my guy.
It's everyone's guy, man. If you don't like Damian Lillard, you don't like NBA basketball.
All right, Grant Napier.
You like that, right? Oh, man.
Can we talk about how great Grant Napier is? Oh, my goodness.
Grant Napier is a boss. We already talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
Like, at some point, he's just going to faint from excitement on the broadcast. Only when Sacramento goes on the run in the fourth quarter especially, like, he goes crazy.
Did you listen to him yesterday? I didn't, but I want to know how he was with the starters playing like 5 to 10 minutes tops.
Yeah, that game started off rough for them, and they rested Fox the rest of the game. But
Fox played 6 minutes. Bielitsa played 5 minutes. I think Hield played the most out of any starter with, like, 20 minutes tops. Like, what?
Yeah, it's hard when you play that type of pace, you know? I mean, you're running so much, and then you're on the road for that long. It's tough when you play a team like Minnesota who just puts the clamps on people.
I hope Boylan makes them. Or, sorry, damn, I ruined my joke. I hope Jaeger makes him run like a hard practice today. It's because they sat the whole game yesterday.
Yeah, you killed that joke.
Yeah, god damn it. Stupid Jaeger and Boylan. What else is there that we can talk about in the West? Do you want to talk about Anthony Davis eventually leaving New Orleans? Because he's out of there.
No, I don't want to think about that because the most likely scenario is he goes to the Lakers, which him and LeBron together is something I don't really want to discuss.
Oh, how about we talk about the Lakers? You want to talk about Lance Stephenson playing his guitar? His air guitar every time? No, okay.
I don't know how that...
Seriously?
I don't know.
Can we talk about the Clippers? How the Clippers have fallen off from being the one seed over the past, like, 2 weeks.
Well, we called that a couple weeks ago. Yes, it's pretty obvious they're going to be, you know, a regression of the mean type of team, and they've really fallen off, and obviously it has to do with Lou Williams being out too. I mean, when they bring in their bench unit, there's not as much pop, obviously, with them going through Patrick Beverley versus Lou Williams, so that's a big fact.
You mean Pat Beverley doesn't get buckets?
I think they're like polar opposite players.
Legit, yeah.
Yeah, but they're going through him as a primary ball handler when Shea's out of the game, so that's tough, you know?
Is Shea starting over Beverley now?
Shea's been starting the last 2 months.
Ooh, boy. Damn, Pat.
Shea's been nice, too.
Shea's a really good player. This rookie class is actually going to turn out to be one of the best ones in recent history.
Mainly because of Luka.
Luka, Bags is pretty good. Ayton is going to be a good NBA player.
Trae Young in the right spot can put up numbers.
Trae Young, if he stops turning the ball over and eventually just shaves his head, gets rid of his stash. You know, little things like that will make this draft class a lot better.
He needs to shave his head.
Yeah. Bring it home. Bring it home, Trey. All right, let's move on to Stats Corner.
All right, so for Stats Corner, I got a couple things for you guys. So the first one is, can you name the player with the best assist-to-turnover ratio thus far this season?
Oh, I already know this.
This is the one I thought you would get right away.
Yeah, I know that.
let's let Raj get this one.
Kyle Lowry?
No.
Good guess.
What team does Peter like the most?
Detroit.
No, the other one.
I'm kidding. Well, I know it's Denver, but I'm trying to think. Jokic?
Nope.
It's
Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray doesn't pass the ball.
It's definitely not. Him. You gotta look at their backups.
Well, I'm picking at Harris. Peter, you take this one. This is your team.
They're rookie, man. Monte Morris. Leading
that
the league.
Correct.
6.2 assist to turnover ratio. That's
now, can you name how many turnovers that he has thus far this season?
Ooh.
Take a wild guess. Let's see who gets closer. So just for context, he has 118 assists. Geez. So how many turnovers does he have thus far this year?
I'm going to go with 14.
Yeah, like 20 tops.
19 turnovers. Thus
far. Ooh, Peter.
That's crazy, man. This dude's getting like a lot of minutes, too. As a backup.
He's just solid as hell, man.
Yeah, he's really composed. Granted, he was drafted last year, not this year. And I think he was a senior coming out of college, too. So he's definitely a veteran, or has that veteran poise, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he's only 23 years old, too. Like, we talked about this before, off the podcast, but he reminds me a lot of Jose Calderon, just with his decision-making. He's just solid. He doesn't turn the ball over. He makes really good decisions on offense, and he's a good shooter, too.
He's a really good shooter and a really good defender. He plays the passing lane so well. I love this dude's game. Is he going to play once Isaiah's back? That's going to
be better.
More, yeah.
I think that situation, like, nobody's really talked about it yet, but I think that situation is going to be a Carmelo situation where they just end up cutting Isaiah Thomas because he's not going to really fit into what they're doing. And honestly, Monte Morris is a better player than him.
Would you cut him, or would you just leave him sitting on the bench? I would just have him sitting around.
I don't think you can do that, though, because Isaiah Thomas is going to want to play. And I think eventually his agent's going to go to the team and say, if you're not going to play him, just get rid of him. Try to trade him for a second-round pick or something, or just cut him.
You think he'll? Yeah, I guess he will. He is the kind of guy who will try to demand it, but he doesn't have much of a leg to stand on right now. You know what I mean? He's been chased off of his last, like, three teams. Three?
Yeah, talk about
two teams.
Yeah, yeah. Three teams, I would say. He played for the Lakers, didn't he?
Yes, I was thinking Lakers and Cavs. He wasn't chased out of Boston. He was just traded.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel that, like, they would probably cut him as well. Like, it's more of a distraction than anything. Because, like, you know Isaiah, like, once he's healthy and he's going to want to play, he's going to start talking, and there's going to be issues, like, how many minutes is he playing? Is he still injured? And for a young team that has a lot of depth when healthy, I think they're probably going to look at a quick solution than have him, like, kind of rot on the bench.
Yeah, and it's been, I don't know. I think originally when he first signed there, I didn't really see him as a fit there either, because Jamal Murray plays 30 to 35 minutes a game as a starter. So best case scenario, you play 18 minutes off the bench as a player who was averaging 30 points per game 2 years ago or 3 years ago. It just, I didn't see the fit at all there. I mean, it's, if you look at it in context to where, like, he can be like a sixth man coming in and averaging like 10 to 15 points a game, sure, but Denver's defense has been so good this year. You bring him in as a backup, he's going to bleed points. Wouldn't you rather Monte Morris be out there and be a solid defensive player and a guy that can fit with Jamal Murray? Those guys have pretty good chemistry this year. So,
all right, let's continue on with Stats Corner.
All right, so the next thing I'm going to ask of you guys is, who are the top four players in transition points this season?
Ooh, that's a good
one. If you need a hint, let me know. I'll give you one. It's actually pretty obvious if you think about it for the first two. Like, who are the most dominant players in transition?
Yanni? Kemba Walker.
Who was that, sorry?
Go ahead.
Go, Peter.
Giannis.
Giannis is actually not on the list.
Get out of here. Come on.
Milwaukee's been playing more of a half-court style this year, though, with a lot of, you know, three-point shooting.
You're a house of lies, man.
I'm going to go with Kemba Walker.
Kemba is not in the top four.
Oof.
Oh, LeBron.
Yes, LeBron is number one.
To KD or Steph?
Correct. KD is number two.
Yeah. All right.
And then for the other two, going back to what we, if you want to, actually, do you guys want a hint or no?
No hints, not yet.
Okay. Okay.
Anthony Davis.
No.
Russ.
Nope. Russ is at an off year this year, surprisingly.
He's not scoring very much.
Yes. Yeah. Scoring's been down.
Yeah. He's still getting his triple doubles, but not scoring. John Wall?
No, John Wall's also had an off year.
Oh, De'Aaron.
Yes, De'Aaron's number three.
Yeah. All right. Who could be number four?
If you get this, I'll be very impressed.
Let's say... Is it another Sacramento King? Because that'd be hilarious.
No. That was the hint. That was the hint.
Two of them?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Healed?
That is correct. Buddy Hield at number four.
Really?
Wow. Peter on his game.
It just goes to show you how fast Sacramento's playing this year, that these two guys are in the top four in transition points.
They literally just push the ball as soon as they get it.
Oh, you don't like that! You don't like NBA basketball!
Yep.
Right, like either Cauley-Stein or, I guess, used to be Bags, now probably. I don't know who else is going to rebound for them now, other than Cauley-Stein. But as soon as the big gets the ball, it's straight to Fox, and then he does whatever he does. Usually he just like guns it down the floor.
Yeah, and he's probably been the fastest NBA player thus far this year.
He's like a young John Wall.
He's a non-fat John Wall. You know, John Wall has actually been really good ever since the whole controversy came out about them, you know, talking shit about other teammates.
Yeah, Washington has improved, it seems, since... this whole, you know, the trade rumors started coming up, and now that they made the trade, even Phoenix has won three in a row, too.
What?
Yeah.
They're going for that double-digit win total.
Yo, good for them, man. If they hit 10 by All-Star break, I'll be pretty impressed.
I don't think they want to, though. I mean, you combine those two guys with Booker and Ayton with, you know, say, either Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett, and that's going to be a nice little core going forward.
Oh, man, if they get R.J. Barrett, they have the 2, 3, and 5 set. Ooh, that's going to be beastly. I don't think Zion and Ayton would mesh very well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of overlap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zion's like a Paul Millsap, really.
Oh, man, we had this talk last week already. I think he's more like Blake, like a young Blake.
Nah, he's Josh Smith.
Josh Smith.
That's not a bad thing.
That means he's going to be out of the league in like 6 years.
Well, once he loses athleticism, he might be.
Man, I don't want none of that. I don't want another Stromile Swift. Or do I?
Stromile's fun to watch.
Yeah, Stromile Swift was a man. Him and Hakeem Warwick.
Oh, yeah, Hakeem Warwick. I always got them confused.
I think I was a beast.
I always got those two guys confused because they dunked the same way and they had the headband.
They're the same player.
Yeah.
Except Stromile Swift just had longer arms.
That is true. And one last thing for you. It's not even a question. It's just a matter of going back to James Harden. He's pretty much the only superstar in history. I think he is the only superstar in history that's had more free throws made than field goals made, which goes to show that he's the biggest... you know, free throw whore and foul whore in the history of the NBA. As of 2 days ago, he has made 5,047 free throws in his career and 4,878 field goals in his 10-year career with Oklahoma and the Rockets.
Man.
How sad is that?
Oh, man. It's just bad because, like, at the end of the day, it's like, it's the same shit over and over again. Like the foul calls that he gets versus other players that don't get them, like Kawhi for instance, it's just there's such a big discrepancy, and they're superstar calls, but it's like he was fabricated to be this massive superstar. He's obviously a good player, like an elite player, but like the difference between getting 30 points and 20 points is all his free throws he's getting every game.
Yeah, you know how there are YouTube users like Free Dawkins who do the player highlights. Yeah. Do you ever watch the Harden highlights anymore? Because I realized yesterday that I never watched the Harden ones in the past like year. That's always the same shit.
Yeah, and Dawkins has the free throw shown in the top left corner of the screen because he doesn't want to make it like a main highlight. Yeah. And pretty much the entire video for Harden is the free throws in the top left corner of the screen.
Yeah. He's like the one player who he can drop like 60, and I'm still like, you know, there's probably like 25 free throws in there. Do I really want to watch this? Not really.
Yeah, I think in the last two games too, he shot 40 plus free throws.
Yeah, I can't watch
against Utah and the Lakers.
Even like highlights are hard to watch, let alone the actual game. That's how you know it's bad.
Yeah, the positive thing though is with players like him, Lou Williams, and DeRozan, their games don't really translate over to the playoffs. So when the refs stop calling those nonsense fouls, and they get to, you know, be played more physical without those plays, so they have to actually try to score the ball instead of just running to the rim and trying to seek contact.
Yeah, none of this Chris Paul's game, but you know, whatever. To each their own at that point.
Whatever. Chris Paul's one of the most efficient playoff performers in history, but sure.
Chris Paul is one of the biggest L eaters in the playoffs too.
I get it.
All right.
What an awful way to end the podcast.
No, it's all staying in. Come on now. We're keeping everything. I ain't taking that little Chris Paul slander.
I'll sweeten it up for you guys real quick. Not trying to take over stats corner or anything, but besides Denver and Golden State, which other team has a winning record in the West on the road?
Oh, I was like, all of them? Wait, say that again. Winning record in the West on the road.
On the road, besides Denver and Golden State, the top two seeds.
I know this one, so I'll let Peter handle it.
Interesting. Is it the Blazers?
No, they've actually been one of the worst teams on the road in the West, but I'll give you one more shot, Peter.
OKC?
No, they're 500.
Damn.
What's the theme of the podcast?
No way. Is it actually Sacramento?
Yeah.
No 9-8. Way.
Yeah.
Wow, this podcast is just going to be labeled Sacramento Love.
Shout out to Grant Napier, though.
Yeah. If you don't like them, you don't like NBA basketball, man. All right, I guess that's it. Great podcast, guys. I want to thank everyone for listening. Again, please rate and subscribe. Hit us up on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, all the platforms. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.
And fuck James Harden.
Okay. That was so unnecessary.